The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there, welcome to Build Your Tribe. My name's Shalene Johnson.
And my name is Brock Johnson.
With more than 25 years of experience in a variety of businesses, I promise to share with you the ins, the outs, my failures, and successes.
And my goal is to share with you these social media money-making strategies to turn your idea into passive income.
Every week, my son, Brock, and I will share with you perspectives that will serve you regardless of the stage that you're at in your business. Whether you're a solo entrepreneur looking to grow your brand in social media or you've got dreams for a global brand, Build Your Tribe is here to serve you.
All right, Mom, this one's all you.
Hey there, welcome to this edition of Build Your Tribe. So today is a little different episode. I know you've heard episodes with both myself and my son, interviews as well as solo episodes. Today I wanted to share with you just an informal conversation that happened between myself and my husband. Something we do at least once a year is to reflect on our businesses and our streams of income and try to do some evaluations, figure out what it is we want to do in the upcoming year. And for my husband, his role in our businesses is the P&L, like how profitable can we make these businesses? And then beyond that, it's like he's the offensive coordinator. So he's going to look at staffing and where we're using resources and who we need to get on our team, how things operate, and forecasting what we have coming up in the next year. This conversation, I think, will be really useful to those of you who maybe you're more creative than you are great at the numbers and looking at how to make your business more profitable. So Brett and I are in the car. We're headed off to dinner. And what we were talking about is how sometimes we need to do a better job of checking in on the different areas of our business, some of which are their own independent businesses, different streams of income, each which sometimes require a different game plan or a different approach, and how similar that can feel sometimes to having, you know, more than one child. Like if you have multiple kids, like they all need a little different approach, and it always seems like one needs more attention than another at different times, but you can't lose sight of the other kids. And that's where this conversation starts. So buckle up your seatbelt and enjoy the ride. You know, it's hard when you have so many different offshoots.
Yeah.
Because it's like having five kids, right? So you're gonna deal with the one who's crying, who's making the most noise,
yeah.
Even though there might be a kid who's in real trouble.
Yeah.
And you can't deal with it right now because this child's being very loud.
Yeah.
You know, and so maybe we need to come up with some type of a systematic way to not let any one child go unsupervised.
Yeah.
For
too long.
Because I mean, like, look at MIA, look at Marketing Impact Academy. Like, that is such an unbelievably incredibly helpful program, right? And we didn't touch it, or in terms of promoting it anyways. I mean, yeah, we were updating it, but we didn't promote it. We didn't go like, okay, gosh, if we just had an evergreen sequence, or if we just had the time to do another launch, and none of it would have taken that time, but you know, we probably lost a couple million. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I mean, over the year.
Yeah, and when you consider evergreen is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, when you consider evergreen, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm expecting 2019 to be, you know, $4 million for MIA.
Evergreen?
No, total. Oh. I'll take $2 million in a launch and $2 million evergreen. $4 million in a $4 million.
So what is your system you have in place for going through one through one? How are you doing this? You just look at what we're spending every month?
Yeah. You know, we always talk about this. We do seasons, and I like to do it in December just because it's a little bit slower usually, and, you know, you can have some year-end reflection. And
true.
So, and, you know, you have a whole year to go by. You just don't have, like, a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got a lot of data to go with. So I'm just going through every phase of all of our businesses, 131, Team Johnson stuff, just everything, whether it's a vendor or an agency or an employee or...
Can I stop you?
Yes.
And ask a question?
Yes.
So you're not just looking at one offshoot, meaning 131 or MIA or journals, right? Because they're all separate individual businesses.
Correct. Well, I'm focused more on 131 is because that's our highest amount of revenue spend. We're spending more money on 131 monthly than any other business.
Okay. We've done this before.
Yeah.
Where we look at all of our sources of revenue and go, which one's the biggest headache, which one costs us the most, and which one do we enjoy the least?
Mm-hmm.
And what I think you're saying is you're kind of looking at it first from a global perspective, but now you're kind of narrowing it down to 131.
Yes, and I'll make sure I touch on everything, because if you don't, then you might... It might be like one of those things where you're supposed to get your annual checkup, right? But if you miss a year, that little thing that could have been growing might get bigger and bigger. So it's better just to look at it before it gets too big. And that's what I do. And it's
So right now, are you going through it month by month, quarter by quarter? What's your process?
Two things. Over the course of the year and then the last 3 months.
And what are you looking at? Are you looking at expenditures?
Yes, expense, and like what are we getting for what we're, what's our ROI?
So, give me an example of something you see and you're like, okay, I'm going to go in deep.
Do you want me to just give you the example I worked with today?
Sure.
Okay, so we have a customer service agency that works for us. And we spend...
An outside agency that handles all of our customer service for 131
only. For
131
only.
Okay.
And do you want me to reveal numbers?
Or sure, yeah, because I can always beep it out if you think that... Like, would there be a problem with that?
No, no.
All right.
So they are on a contract that they work hourly.
Okay.
So it's not like per... And what their claims are called tickets.
So if someone calls in and says, I lost my password. That's a ticket.
That's a ticket, right?
Uh-huh.
So I've noticed at the beginning of the year when we had all of the massive like influx of people joining the 131.
And we were trying to work through glitches.
Glitches and website glitches. And like we didn't even know all the problems.
Uh-huh.
Like we were putting together an FAQ through the customer service. It was a big, huge task.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were getting paid the same amount of money that they got paid the last 3 months. And the tickets...
that doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. They were getting paid back then, what they're getting paid now, and you're saying the workload is no comparison.
No comparison. And so I was like, wait a second, this doesn't make sense, because the when I started getting the invoices never went down. They're always the same.
Okay.
And then I was explained that they're like on an hourly basis. So it's not like they're per ticket. It's per hour.
So it's our bad for
so
not
it's 100% our bad, but nobody was, you know... That's my job.
Uh-huh.
I got, you know, and so what I did was, is I broke it down, I reverse engineered it and broke it down per ticket.
What's that mean?
Meaning you do this a lot. This is how your brain works too. So I've kind of learned this from you.
Mm.
So what I did was I took the average. So I didn't just calculate on 1 month. I did 3 month average of tickets.
Okay. And so let's say we just throwing out.
600.
So we did 600 tickets.
In one average for 3 months. So 1,800 tickets over 3 months. So 600 per month.
600 customer service inquiries per month.
Yes.
Got it.
Okay. So I did this math today. So let me just do it quick in my head for you. So if you do 600, there's 20 working days in a month, right? So just let's just go 4 weeks times 5 days a week, right?
Okay.
So that's 20. So you divide 20 into 60. What do you get? 30.
Sure.
So that's 30 tickets a day divided by 8 is 3.7 tickets per hour.
Okay.
That means each ticket, they were spending 20 minutes on each ticket. I'm like, wait a second. So then I went to our department head and I said, what are the tickets range from? I'm like, because they
What's
don't
a typical tip
because
ticket?
They don't answer the tickets that are hard. They don't answer
nutrition related.
They answer
why dietitians that do that.
So I asked Ashley Sweeney, who is our registered dietitian and lead director of the 131, and I said, so give me the top three reasons. And I'm like, okay.
You mean the top three tickets?
Top three tickets.
Types, okay.
Yes. These sound like copy and paste responses they could be making. She goes, oh yeah, by now we have copy and responses for everything that they do. So I go, so how long would a ticket take for somebody to do? Like,
give me an example of what a question might be.
I want to start a new cycle.
Phase.
a new phase, how do I go back to the beginning?
Okay.
Right? So there's
copy
just...
Copy and paste.
Copy and paste.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 3-minute ticket. That's not 20 minutes.
No, it's a 5-minute. No, it's a 5-second.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm giving people the doubt. I mean, it's not 20 minutes.
Right.
Right? So I started doing this, and I was like, okay, so if they're doing... Let's just round up and say 4 tickets an hour at 15 minutes a piece. I'm like, at the rate they're doing these tickets, they should be able to do 12 tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that means they would go up a couple 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, then their fee should be cut in half.
Mm-hmm.
Not the same price.
Mm-hmm.
And I told, you know, when I was discussing this with them, I said, at this rate, we're getting charged $150 an hour for customer service.
Yeah.
And she says, how is that possible? And I went through the math. And now, are we getting charged $150 for customer service? No. But when you break it down and reverse engineer it by ticket, we are.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not what it equals out to be.
I understand.
So what I did was I said, okay, so we're paying our customer service agency $120,000 a year. What would it cost to do this in-house? What would it cost to hire somebody to do this?
Yeah.
Less than half of that. So we're talking $50,000 to $55,000 max.
Mm-hmm.
And so today, if we went that route, we would have saved $65,000 today in that one meeting.
Mm.
It's money that's being made that we're shelling out that we don't need to be shelling out. But more than likely what we'll do is we'll take that money and we'll invest it in somewhere else in the business.
So like advertising, marketing,
just R&D, right? Yeah. New CRM we're looking into. Mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff. But then in the meeting, I'm always like usually the one that wants to do the most drastic thing, which is fire and hire.
At least you recognize that about yourself.
Yeah. So that
you are a little bit like, okay, it's done. We're not doing this anymore.
I'm very black and white.
Yeah.
And so the gray person that equals me out in the office, Brooke.
And me.
And you said, why don't I contact them and see if we can just like restructure this?
Yeah.
And I said, beautiful, restructured.
Yeah, because you can't blame a company who's like, we negotiated a price, they're still paying it, we're doing our job, it's easier for us now, but that's not our fault.
There's benefits to doing that, because what if all of a sudden the book comes out and all of a sudden we have an influx and now we're getting a couple thousand members every single week and mm-hmm. our subscription thing's going up, and then, you know, we could always negotiate back. But the nice thing about this is that we kind of created some new rules for customer service too, because like you said, it doesn't make sense. Like, they're working on Saturdays.
So we're paying them to be on call 24 hours a day.
Not 24 hours a day, but I think it's like 12
hours a day.
Multiple people.
Yeah, which is like ridiculous, because you can call like American Express or PayPal's customer service.
Yeah.
And if you don't call before 5, you're not getting an answer.
No,
and
no.
We're like, people are like, do I add Stevia to this recipe or not?
Yes.
You know?
So what I said today was, let's just readjust the rules. Our customer service is now 8 to 5 Pacific Standard Time. That's where we're located. That's where our customer service is located. They're located in Arizona. So we go 8 to 5. And if you don't, and if you ask a question, and if it's after 12 o'clock Pacific time, your question will be answered more than likely the next day.
Yeah, and that's reasonable. It's still exceptional. Like most...
It's exceptional customer service,
yeah.
And it could cut our price in half and could make, you know, with us, we're going to reinvest it into the business and make sure other things are working more soundly. That's one example. There's lots of examples.
Let's go have dinner and we'll come back and talk about more.
Okay.
The hard thing would be not talking about these things over dinner. So then you go through that, and then are you like, okay, the next biggest charge that I need to figure out if it's valid or not, right? Is that your main thing?
Yes, and also what we need
mm-hmm.
and what that's going to cost. And I'm always making sure, since this is our first year of doing agencies, that they're doing what they promised that they were going to do.
How do you do that?
Because we pay them. They say that they're going to create this many sales, and it's really easy to check and monitor, and if they're not doing that, then you either have to change something or...
Was one of the first agencies we hired the SEO agency, or no, Facebook agency?
Facebook was the first one.
We've hired a couple of different agencies to run Facebook.
Which I wouldn't recommend anymore, a Facebook agency. There's other agencies, you know, we have another SEO agency. The first one that we used didn't work.
Okay, I want to jump in here and just explain that last comment. The first search engine optimization agency that we hired We spent a long time finding the right company and looking into their credentials. We did a meeting with them where they pitched us on what they would be able to do for the 1-3-1 method. And we were blown away by the pitch. We entered into a very, very expensive agency contract with them. They had really reputable reviews, but I have to tell you, it was a huge waste of money. The mistake that we made that I want to share with you is that many agencies and consultants will often list people whom they take credit for their success, meaning they say, we did all of so-and-so's search engine optimization and take a look at where their website is today. Or we did such and such for so-and-so's podcast or Facebook ads or whatever it is. And what we've since learned is you have to figure out how long was that contract? When did you start working with them? When you did start working with them, where were they at? And where were they at when you left? Because many times, many of the consultants or agencies that we seek out, we're seeking them out because they've worked with some of our competitors, but they were also let go by many of our competitors. And they also tend to have, you know, which is a natural tendency, this inflated representation of what they did and their role. So my recommendation would be to ask additional questions. Find out when you worked with them. Where were you when you first started working with them? Where were you when you left? And what is your relationship like with this team or individual today? And then reach out to that former consultant or former, even if it is a competitor, reach out and ask, because I think had we done that, we would have saved ourselves perhaps tens of thousands of dollars. And I know myself, I see people who list online, either on, you know, freelance sites or even on LinkedIn. They take credit for the success of our company because they may have worked for us for a very, very short period of time. And frankly, they didn't perform or they'd still be with us. Or maybe they did and they're overinflating what they did. And it's pretty common for people to overinflate their credentials. It's not a crime, but it is something you want to be aware of. But because that's life, that's business. We hired an agency that relatively soon after we hired them, they went through major changes in terms of their staffing and the leadership. And we just got the raw end of the deal. I wouldn't consider it a complete waste of money, but we certainly overpaid for a minimal amount of service. But in the process, we learned a ton about search engine optimization agencies, things that we probably should have known before hiring them. I mean, it was a win because we learned so much that we were better equipped to hire a new agency moving forward. Okay, back to our conversation.
So, but we hired another one because that is an expertise and it's and it mm-hmm. does, there is some really good validation why you should do an SEO agency if you need that for your business.
Right.
But in right now, my recommendation would be to kind of tread water lightly on Facebook agencies because of just the fact that Facebook is kind of becoming a little...
It's stuck.
It is. It's stuck. They got a lot of internal problems from... And I get that from, you know, watching my CNBC and watching my financial shows. They're in trouble. You know, people don't do business with people that are in trouble.
I think for some people, they might need to outsource paid advertising. Mm-hmm. They might consider that. They might try to figure it out themselves. Mm-hmm. I personally would advertise on Instagram before I would advertise on Facebook.
Which Facebook owns Instagram, so mm-hmm. you're still giving Facebook money, but you know, you got to look where people are looking, and I think Instagram is a great, you know, opportunity for people. Instagram is great. I just think that the amount of money that you have to pay for an agency to run your ads, I don't think it's as lucrative as it was 3 or 4 years ago when Facebook was really a great spot for advertising. I just think that there's going to be a change there, and I like to be ahead of that. So
you go through the biggest expenditures, and you look at them, and you say, all right, how can we either reduce this cost, justify this cost, or figure out what more we need? So you started by looking at our customer service. Then the next thing you looked at is staffing.
Yes.
We lost a full-time employee.
Yep. And then, so you
who was higher paid. I think we realized after we had that loss that we weren't going to jump and immediately replace that person. We were going to figure out, like, how much were they doing?
Yes. And can that be absorbed? Can other people pick that slack up? Which right now, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
So
that ended up saving us some money.
That's a huge savings. And then
just one of those things that worked out the way it was supposed to work out.
Yeah. And now that's money that can be spent for some other things that we're looking to do. Because you don't always look just to cut. You look to obviously spend money on the right key employees.
But now let's go back to this. Now, so we started looking at, we have a team of registered dietitians are a part of answering questions in the forums.
Yes.
They're also part of our writing staff, our research staff. They are our experts. We've got this, you know, great group of gals and guys who they kind of each have their own little specialty. Like this person really knows a lot about hormones, and this person really knows a lot about feeding families, and this person really knows a lot about gut health, and they dig it. They love it.
Yeah.
They stay on top of it. So that's a way that we're able to be cutting edge with the research and information and knowledge that we have. But do we need all these people full time?
Yeah. And do we need them like on call? I found out today that at the beginning we had registered dietitians like on call waiting for like tickets or waiting or researching or looking through the forums and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And I just said, I didn't know that, you know, the 131 method so much better than we did a year ago.
So you had to go through an investigation and find out, okay, how much time are they spending?
Correct.
Working? Okay. And you learned what?
I learned that besides writing articles, which are obviously a definite, like, okay, it took me this long to write it, or we pay by words, right? So that's one's really simple to figure out. But we were paying RDs to kind of like almost be on call for the 131 method. Like
for emergency. This recipe calls for half a cup. And I only have a quarter cup.
Yeah. You know, or just anything like that.
Hello. I wanted to share this with you. I think you'll find it interesting. So Brett and I have created businesses in 8 different industries. This latest one, the 131 method, it really falls into the diet industry, even though, as I've mentioned, we don't consider it a diet. It's really a nutrition program. Anyways, what we had not anticipated was the amount of customer service related inquiries that go along with a nutrition program. We have programs like the Marketing Impact Academy, which are pretty dang complicated. Like there's a lot of moving pieces and a lot of variables, and it's people's money and their livelihood and they're building businesses. There's a lot of variables. We don't even have 1/100th of the amount of inquiries for a program like the Marketing Impact Academy as we do the 131 method. And I think because as a society, we have been brainwashed and conditioned to believe we are not smart enough to make the right decision when it comes to our own diet and nutrition. Because of that, if every single little teeny tiny minute detail isn't spelled out, even the smartest individuals, lawyers and doctors and nurses and, you know, rocket scientists, I'm telling you, they would call our customer service department panicked. Can I eat this? Do I have permission to have an extra glass of water? Like crazy things where it's like, really? Like no common sense, or it's not even common sense. It's a fear that you're going to do the wrong thing and that this one small decision, even if common sense tells you you should or shouldn't do it, people just want permission like I've never seen before. We could have never predicted the amount of customer service inquiries that relate to just crazy, simple, common sense, common health kinds of questions where people want permission before they put anything in their mouth. Okay, that was it. Back to our conversation.
We could get more efficient with RDs if we streamlined their hours better. It just needed to be addressed. It just needed to be looked at and reevaluated. And you know, everybody does better when there's structure.
Yes, and measure.
Yes. And so when there's not structure and measure, then things start getting out of whack.
Yeah.
And it's just a way that it's a check and balance. Mm-hmm. So we can go in there and go, okay, these are the new rules. This is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And like you always say, they're not like in concrete because they could change 3 months from now.
Right.
But for right now, this is the way we're going to do it.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Based on the numbers, you looking at our expenditures, looking at our staffing, looking at how much we have going out, how much it's taken us to launch, and the research and development. And how do you feel right now about the 131? You know, when we evaluate things at the end of the year, which we always do, we always go, and we did this last year, we sit down and we say, okay, here are these, you know, maybe four or five different revenue sources. And we look at how much they've earned us. We look at how much we spent to earn that. And then we also look at headache. How much of a headache, how hard or how enjoyable has each one of these been? Mm-hmm. So factor that into.
I think, well, if I factor all those things in, mm-hmm. the 131 has been very difficult this year. Mm-hmm. I think that whenever you're starting a completely new business, mm-hmm. whether we've done businesses together for the last 24 years, mm-hmm. so or 20 years or whatever it is, but we've always kind of like rolled into one a little bit more predictable than this one. Mm-hmm. This one wasn't as predictable.
No, not at all.
So, and I don't think that we understood all the growing pains. Mm-hmm. I think that we can really look at this year and say that we really invested in learning the ins and outs of
a diet program.
A diet program and what it takes. And, you know,
and just for the record, we call it a diet program because that's kind of how we market it. Like, that's the niche, but I mean, it's a nutritional program.
I put it this way, I'd much rather be in our shoes right now than Weight Watchers' shoes, because Weight Watchers went out and paid Oprah an ungodly amount of money to be their spokesperson, and their stock went down about 40% this year.
Yikes.
So, I mean, you know, it's a very interesting industry, mm-hmm. because, you know, you almost got, it's almost like catching a wave.
Yeah.
You know, and you just got to ride the wave for as long as you can, and you got to get traction, and you know, you got to get to that tipping point to where, you know, you're...
This becomes lifestyle, something people are talking about, gets grassroots.
Where it's not, people don't go, where you and I don't have to explain, like, oh yeah, it's 131 method, but it's kind of a diet, it's a nutritional program. People just are like going, I'm a 131er. I do 131. I 131. And that's when you know that you've kind of made it in terms of things. Now, with all that being said, the one part of our business that we knew that we needed to get to was October, when we had all of our renewals coming up, all of our people that have been in the program for 6 months or a year or 12 weeks, and that we were launching our subscription model.
Yeah.
And that seems to be working very well.
Oh, you know, we haven't even talked about that.
Yeah, so that...
I mean, you and I haven't.
Yeah, and it's really in its infancy right now.
Okay.
We have our biggest week coming up here in the middle of December, because we signed up the most people that we ever signed up in for the year in December of last year.
That's right.
So it's a huge thing. We're working really hard in the office about, you know, we have the emails all set up, and, you know, the...
Why don't we do that again?
I think we should. I think we should do another big launch. You know, I think
that's
we should. I think we should do another big launch. I think we've talked about that. What, you know, do we do that around the new branding of the program, or you know? And I think you and I have some amazing new ideas that we're going to launch in 2019. That's really going to help the 131.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, I don't feel like we. It's as big and as difficult as it's been, and all of the moving. It's probably the hardest business we've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
With the most moving pieces and the most things we weren't aware of, and just the most competitive. Like, it's the hardest business we've ever done, but it's also one that I'm so freaking passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's still so much more we haven't even done yet to really see its potential. It's like, if it's a child, this child is in fifth grade.
He's not in fifth grade yet.
He's not in fifth. She.
She or he is in third grade. They're not an upper grader yet.
But then sometimes I feel that way about journaling, like the push journal. Like I told you tonight at dinner, I'm like, my dream come true would be just everybody used a push journal. Because that would mean like everyone had a plan for the next day. And that would mean people would be happier. But that's the same reason why I'm so passionate about the 1-3-1. I'm like, but then people wouldn't be sick and people wouldn't be, like, it's all about happiness and feeling good.
But we can't have the life that we have written out that we want, mm-hmm. and have two kind of startup businesses going at the same time and expect for both of them to be valedictorians.
Yeah.
It's just, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And we need to, you know, spend a little bit more time developing these, and they're both amazing. And the nice thing about it is we're employing a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And we're doing great.
And the other good thing is, and I'm glad you said that, because you're right, and that's why we're a good balance to each other, because I want all things at once. I've got ADD. You are the balance to this business who says, okay, let's go in all the way with one. And, like, for example, the push journals, that, you know, in and of itself could be a multi-million dollar industry company. And even just with a little bit that we've done and just the small grassroots effort, like, it's been incredibly successful. So it's not like it's not successful.
No, and we've helped a lot of people. And, I mean, just think about, we haven't even really gone after, like, testimonials and done the testimonials like we do for MIA, for the journals. And, you know, there's just a lot of things that we have to do. And we're getting there and we're moving forward. And the journals are getting better each time that we come out with a new set.
Uh-huh.
And people love them. We have so many repeat customers.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the things that I listed off at dinner today, the things that we're already talking about doing for the next sets that are going to come out are going to be amazing. And we have a team now that kind of understands our ebb and flow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have our team, like, if you want to relate this to football, to your guy listeners and your girl listeners that love football, you don't build a championship football team in 8-9 months. A lot of our employees, they haven't even worked together for a year.
You're right.
I mean, we just hired a digital marketer, Pam. She's been with us for 3 months. We've had Lexi. She hasn't even been here for a year.
We have some badass on our team.
We do. Right? So we have all these people. And then the people that we've had for a while, we've had them change roles.
Yeah.
And, like, okay, we're not doing Marketing Impact Academy. Now we're doing, you know, 1-3-1. And then now they got to start thinking about that.
Yeah.
When, you know, like, when they're cutting videos. Or it's just,
like, we're an awesome team.
Awesome team. And literally, and Brooke's only been with us for 14, 15 months.
Yeah.
And she's our VP, and she's trying to learn all these new businesses. This is the first time that she's ever done a Marketing Impact Academy launch, and, like, so is her first time.
Uh-huh, she crushed it.
And she crushed it. So, like, you got to think about, like, all the good things that we did
year. Oh, I do, yeah, you're right.
And make it, and the fact that we know what we did wrong, and we're not, and that's why we're so good as a team, is because we know where we kind of made mistakes, and we quickly fix them, and we don't make them again.
Mm-hmm. Right. And those are systems.
Yeah, we build systems, and we're building systems, and we're getting better at, you know, building this system. And
and our favorite song's on the radio, 11-11.
Yep. Dashboard.
That's weird.
We're finishing up this podcast at 11-11.
That is so weird. I guess we better end it there. That's crazy. All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed this little car chat with myself and my husband. Partners in life, partners in business, partners in crime.
Yep.
Our goal is to be brief, to be bright, to make it fun, and then be done.
And be done. Be gone.
And we're done. Bye.
This episode has been brought to you by the Smart Life Push Journal. If you're the type of individual who loves to make lists, keep yourself on task, get organized, and there just don't seem to be enough hours in the day, this is a convenient, lightweight, simple to use 30-day system. This is not just a day planner. And learn how you can get your health, fitness, life, and goals organized and develop the laser focus you need to have the life that you deserve. Check it out. Go to smartlifepushjournal.com.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew. topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.